reasons we're here in Philadelphia, the birthplace of our American democracy, is that Pennsylvania has the most electoral votes of all seven of the swing states.
She's a pundit, journalist, author, and host of many national shows, including the new Battleground, because she simply keeps it real.
If you're not comfortable and you don't believe in what you're saying or you don't have a real grasp on it, audiences can tell.
Breaking down our current political environment in an entertaining but hard-hitting way.
You can say that facts don't care about your feelings, but feelings really don't care about your facts. That is tough. That's tough to get around.
She's the newest member of our broadcast family.
I'm Essie Cupp, and you'll see me on The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. You know what we do. We're bringing in interesting, entertaining, informative people, hearing their stories, just chopping it up a little bit. And this is actually fun because I used to watch your shows and things on TV. Mm-hmm. Sometimes argue with you.
Of course.
On camera, but you never responded.
I never heard you, but yeah.
What is her problem? Essie Cupp, who is the new host of Battleground, political commentator, contributor, journalist. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of titles.
I know.
And social media, like, star.
Maven?
Is that
I like
what we're
Maven.
Going with?
Yeah.
You like Maven?
It's funny because I'm actually not, and I was just having a conversation with a well-known journalist who's trying to get me to punch up my social media. And I'm like, I did not go to college for coding, sir. I'm not a scientist. Yeah. But no, I'm actually, I'm trying to get better at social media, but I'm an old.
Oh, you're having fun. Are those the glasses? You did like a get ready with me glasses thing.
Well,
those
so I just got new
pairs.
Glasses and like these are
pairs.
One of them and I'm keeping them because I love them.
Those are cool.
There aren't many glasses I don't like. Okay. Like, they have to look really weird on me for me to not like them. So, yeah, I'm keeping these. I got good feedback on the
glasses
the
and the social media post.
Yes, yes.
So you're, like, blowing up.
I'm trying.
I'm a journalist. I did deep research into trying to learn things about you. And I was like, she got blue glasses. I saw it on Instagram.
Good research.
Right? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, like, we've all seen you on TV. When you and I first talked before and kind of met, you were talking a little bit about your journalism background. Mm-hmm. Like, that was your thing that got you into this. Tell us about how you got into all this.
Well, I went to college and got an art history degree. But freshman year, importantly, I started working at the school newspaper. Okay. And that's where I got my education. And it's where I knew immediately, this is what I want to do in some capacity. And I wrote opinion there, too. I did reporting, but I also wrote opinion columns and... So I didn't know what I was going to write about. I thought maybe I would do entertainment reviews because, I'm a pop culture fan. And I did a lot of different kinds of writing when I left college. I wrote sports at the New York Times for 8 years. I wrote about music and movies and culture. And I later got a master's in religion. I wrote about religion. And then I started writing about politics and, decided kind of on a whim to write a book about politics. My publisher, Simon & Schuster, put me on TV to promote it. Mm-hmm. And that never stopped. Once I started doing that, you just get called back to come on back and talk about this story and now this story. And that kept going. And as long as I could keep writing, because that's what I cared about, I said yes to TV and radio and broadcast. And I was happy to do it. Eventually, it pays better. So it became the full-time job. And I still write. I wrote another book. I write our newsletter for Battleground. I write 3 columns a week. So writing is in me. It's what I have to do to breathe, to feel alive.
Okay.
But the TV broadcast, in fact, politics, came kind of later.
So that wasn't, and it's kind of a question, because I grew up in talk radio.
Okay.
So I was doing the talk radio and the debate and everything at a pretty young age, like similar to the age when you started doing the writing.
Yeah.
And I feel like you either love that or it gets a little cringy. Like I was 22 trying to argue political perspectives with people that I wasn't even sure I fully understood. And it was like, I think that's what I think, but your argument sounds pretty solid too. is that ever hard? Like, even at that age?
Yeah. Well, that's very self-aware. And, not everyone has that awareness that, like, I might not know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I should probably shut up.
Can we go to break?
Right, right. But, and listen, the most important part of that is that the audience can tell. If you're not comfortable and you don't believe in what you're saying or you don't have a real grasp on it, audiences can tell. And what they want is authenticity. Even if I'm wrong, right, even if they don't like what I'm saying, they want to know that I truly believe it. And I think they hope that I'm at least educated enough to know what I'm talking about and deliver some facts. But, you know, we all put on hats when we're coming into this business, right? We try on different hats. And I did the same thing, you know, to see what I liked best and what people wanted, you know, the most of. And it turned out what they wanted the most of was political commentary. And so that's where I've lived for the past 15 years.
For a minute. It's changed, hasn't it? Like, it was, I remember the show that I used to argue with you guys on, yeah, the screen, and, yeah, it was, but at that point it felt like it was more of a fun views. Like, we disagree, yeah, on policy, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't hate her.
But like, the world wasn't ending.
Her, yeah. Right, and we weren't so angry.
Yeah.
It's changed now, or has it, when you're kind of sitting in that chair having to go back with those debates?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked at all three cable networks, mm-hmm, so, you know, we got into some pretty, you know, rough debates at Fox in the Obama era. You know, it could get dirty over there. You know, there was some stuff that was happening on the air over there that I didn't like birtherism, for example. I never, right, liked that. I think that was good. I went over to MSNBC where we had a kind of a more lighthearted panel show that I was on called The Cycle, and that was fun, and we were young and it showed, but MSNBC thought that was cool that we were sort of a younger voice, and so we had a lot of fun. Then I went to CNN for Crossfire to reboot that show, which is like notoriously and sort of biologically in its DNA a fight show. It's a debate,
right,
show.
Right.
Now, we did it, I think, in a very thoughtful, smart way, and we genuinely did get along, but I think the appetite for debates is great. And I think people want to see conversations mirrored, modeled back to them so that they can be like, oh, well, that's what I think, or that's not what I think, but I'm armed now with some things to say. I think what I don't like is that I think media and politics have changed dramatically in the past 6-8 years. Dramatically. I don't know that we'll ever get back to where media was or where politics was. I mean, I find that my Republican Party has changed around me. I haven't changed at all. I still believe in like all the same things, but a lot has changed. And I think that has created more anxiety, fear, anger. So dealing in that is just not as fun. It couldn't be as fun, right? It shouldn't be.
The respectfully disagree part. Yeah. Yeah. Seems to be. And I think that's fair in media as well as politics. But the I really don't like your thought process, your policies has been pushed kind of to the side. And now we're insulting each other.
Yes.
Now, and that part doesn't seem like it's as much fun.
It's
if you
fun.
Legitimately care and you seem to legitimately care about the policies.
Yeah. I care deeply about policies and much less about populism. But, you know, unfortunately, the policies have taken a back seat.
Okay.
You know, and so this is what we're dealt with, and this is what we're left with, and this is what we have to talk about and navigate and translate and interpret, and it's hard. It's hard.
So it is maybe a smooth segue into the Battleground show.
Yes.
Because that show
is awesome.
Okay.
It is I'm not awesome. Just saying that.
I mean, it's only like we're like three episodes.
No, but ever I didn't mean to cut you off, but like I feel strongly about this. All the stuff I just said about the media landscape, we get to leave behind at Battleground. Because it is so journalism and politics focused, we have a very narrow mission to look at the swing states and not opinions inside them, but voters. Mm-hmm. Voters. So no pundits, no yelling, no debates. We get to tell you, through our terrific reporters in all of these Battleground states, what's happening on the ground. No spin, no conjecture, no hypothesizing, no invention. It's so, it feels so indulgent for me to be able to live in such a great space that I haven't been able to live in a very long time. It's
great. It's awesome was your response.
It's awesome.
This has you energized, loving this.
Totally. Huh. Loving this, appreciating this. I'm humbled I get to be a part of this. I can't believe someone hasn't done this before because it's so good and smart and right. So I just feel incredibly lucky.
So for people who don't know, because as I said, half joking, because we really are only like three episodes in.
Yeah.
What is Battleground in a nutshell?
Yeah, so it's right now a weekly show. It's going to be a daily show come August 12th, but it's a weekly show that deep dives into the seven swing states and what voters on the ground there are thinking about the issues, what matters to them. And that varies state to state. It also varies inside the state. So voters in Flint, Michigan might have different priorities than voters in Bloomfield Hills. I know that because I used to live in Bloomfield Hills. it's a nice town. So, you know, having reporters on the ground who know these states intimately, know all the corners, know all the voting demographics, the geography, and what matters to them is so crucial to telling these stories so that maybe we can get a more accurate picture of how these states are going to vote instead of in November being surprised, like, oh, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. How did Trump lose Michigan? Or how did Biden lose Arizona? Whatever it is. Let's be less surprised. Let's go there and ask voters what matters to them.
Can something like this, like Battleground, or is even the hope that something like Battleground can kind of get people back to the fact that we should be talking about how the collective we becomes better.
Yeah.
The collective society learns from each other, interacts with each other. Like, I've read about your politics, and they're not necessarily on board with mine.
Sure.
But we're sitting here having a positive back and forth discussion.
It's possible.
Can this show move people back to that?
Well, I hope so. But let me tell you about Battleground. It is not going to make you angry or afraid.
Okay.
That is the purview of a lot of news shows today, to make you angry and afraid. I say that doing, you know, being on a lot of these shows. So what Battleground will not do is engage in that anxiety-inducing conversation that is designed to drive you crazy. So hopefully Battleground calms you down a little bit, but hopefully it also educates you and informs you about what's actually happening on the ground, not, you know, opinions from pundits sitting in Washington or New York City, but what's actually happening. And then at least we can say, okay, well, I'm not in one of these battleground states, but I feel more connected as an American to my neighbors in Michigan or Wisconsin or Nevada. I feel connected to them because I know more about them and I know what is bothering them right now, what's on their minds. I think that's important.
Has it been hard at all? Because you wear different hats. Like for years you were talking about somebody makes the point and your job was to push back against that point. Have there been any times yet where you're sitting back going, I did it. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to.
You know, it's funny. I find it more enjoyable and easier for me to do the straight down the middle kind of conversation where I'm just listening to people and then asking what I think are good questions to follow up. That's easier for me than the opinion stuff I've done for 15, 20 years.
Right.
So actually putting on this hat has been a joy, an absolute joy.
So you're not going in there with the concept of I'm supposed to try to win.
No, which is such a relief.
Right?
The pressure is off. This actually isn't about me at all, which I love.
It's kind of about you. Like, you're driving the show.
It's not.
But your personality is driving the show. Like, it is. And I don't mean it's not about the content is not necessarily
about
my
opinion
and what you think.
Right.
You know, but you are driving the show, hopefully, with that positive energy and encouraging people to want to participate.
Well, I like that. That's a good way to put it. And I hope that's right. I hope that's right. We are journalists. Journalisming is so hard right now.
Right?
No, I like that. Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. But it is not about me and what I think and what I believe and what I want. And that's a relief, honestly.
I wonder if you talk about straight down the middle.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about facts.
Yep.
That type of thing.
Yep.
It feels like in society, we've gotten so far into, I'm trying not to be biased myself, but the term alternative facts became a thing.
Yeah.
You know, do they even exist anymore? Just
it's
the
crazy
straight down the middle? Because now, based on our political affiliation or thought process, we'll argue what's an actual fact.
Yes. And these alternative facts, I would call them in some cases lies? Conspiracy theories or lies.
Right.
And they're on both sides.
Yes.
I'll be honest. Have a way of becoming fact. When someone with a big enough microphone says it enough, people believe it to where it is a fact in their mind. And it recalls the Seinfeld, George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Right.
They don't think it's a lie. It's at a point, again, either side, mm-hmm. whatever we're talking about, where it is true to them. And the idea of objective facts kind of falls to the wayside. Now, as a journalist and someone who deals in facts or tries my best to deal in facts, that is very frustrating because it's really hard to penetrate. You can say that facts don't care about your feelings, but feelings really don't care about your facts. That is tough. That's tough to get around. And listen, Biden's facing that when he talks about the economy and the numbers being really good. Mm-hmm. People do not feel that way.
No.
And he should not tell them that they're wrong to feel that way. That is bad politics. And then, of course, over on Trump's side, lying about the election in 2020 or saying that the trials are a political witch hunt, not true, but his base believes that deeply. And almost arguing with them about it is a waste of time. So it's a new world trying to massage all of that. And, you know, you want to take it in, you want to hear people and understand people, but you also don't want to go along and feed into the conspiracy theories and lies.
I feel like now that we talk about this show, I've been watching it anyway, mm-hmm. so I was excited about it. But this is a real task that this show has taken on, understanding where we are as a society and trying to get back to the... Because what you just said on both sides, you talked about President Biden and the economy.
Yeah.
Talk about Trump, the election, what have you. Those are both true.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Those are both factual statements.
Yeah.
But either side is going to sit back and say, see how biased she is? She just told the other side's facts.
I mean, I do what I can do. I'm not going to win everyone, and that's okay, but I feel compelled to stick to that mission and tell the truth. You might not like it. You might not agree with it, but that's how I can sleep at night. That's how, you know, for all intents and purposes, left the Republican Party, because I have to be true to what I believe in. And the odd thing is, I'm probably more conservative than most Republicans in Congress today, right. You know, because I care about the debt and the deficit. I still care about national defense. I care about tariffs, all these things that they decided don't matter anymore. It's wild. But I call balls and strikes now. I call Republicans out. I call Democrats out. I think they're both messing up big time now. This debate was a dumpster fire. And how you could want either of these guys or have confidence in either of these guys is beyond me.
I love that you and your show can say that. Because it's just not something. Like, I sat back and watched that debate and was text messaging with my brother who worked on Capitol Hill for years.
Okay.
And I text him and I said, I feel like the rest of the world is watching going, really? These are the two best that you can put out there?
Yes.
It was just like, and that wasn't even criticizing either one.
Right.
It was criticizing both. It's like,
the state of American politics.
Got,
yes.
You know, to go out there.
Yeah.
I love you could potentially, like, you're just telling the truth. And most of the people watching it, you're scared to admit it.
Yeah.
But I think most of the people watching it had the same.
They saw it the same way. I mean, there was one way to see it. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And not just for Joe Biden. It was bad. Yeah. And I think it relates directly to people's disenchantment with the two parties. You know, I voted for Joe Biden in 2020, knowing I would not like all of his policies. And I have not liked his policies even more than I thought I would not like them. I was still going to vote for him again. But I'm so mad at Biden and Democrats right now after that debate. I am so mad that they took my vote, the first vote I have ever given to a Democrat, took it for granted, and didn't decide we need to do better in 2024 and put up a better candidate. Joe Biden's a good guy. It's not enough. He's got to be able to finish this term and four more years. And I don't know that he can do it. And importantly, I don't think he can beat Donald Trump. So if that matters to you, then he's got to go. He's got to step down. And I'm mad that we're in this position now because I trusted you with my vote. And it was hard for me to trust you with my vote. I trusted you. And this is where you've taken me with it. So, I don't know if that's how a lot of other people feel, especially first-time Biden voters, mm-hmm. if they feel that let down. But that's where I'm at now.
But you're going to know because that's what Battleground
we are going
is
to find
exploring
out. Exactly.
And going
right.
through the process. And we will get to see all of that organically develop.
You are such a pro to segue.
Journalist notepad.
Right into the tease.
All of this kind of stuff.
I'm in good hands.
So we're doing this show.
Yeah.
This show is definitely going through, we are doing this show, but Battleground.
Yeah, okay.
Getting to August mm-hmm. is going to be a daily show. Mm-hmm. Is the hope that it then continues past the election? Because we're still going to need discussion about what now and what goes forward. Like, is that the hope?
It's definitely my hope. I hope this experiment works. I hope people love it and then want more beyond an election year. And maybe the scope and purview expand a little bit beyond the swing states, or we're looking at which states are moving where we're still going to be issues oriented. But yeah, I hope it goes well past the election. I think touching base with voters around the country will always be important. Mm-hmm. And if we're telling politics through this kind of lens, then I think we're going to be better informed and more connected as a country. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
As we wrap, other than really cool glasses and get ready with me, like what's next? Mm-hmm. We're doing
for social
this.
Media?
Just in general, we're doing this.
Yeah.
You're going to continue, you're writing more books. You
yes,
are
I am.
Doing, get, are you really?
Yes, the book I'm working on now is very different. It's actually about mental health.
Okay.
And the news through the lens of mental health, because it's done a number on mine, I'll tell you. And I'm not alone. You know, just because I cover it from the inside doesn't mean the news isn't hurting you too from the outside. Yeah. I've been working on that, and that's taking much longer than my other books about politics.
You like
it's about
people
me.
To task.
I mean, I like a challenge, but yeah, so I'm working on that now. Juggling several jobs and a family and commuting and all of it.
You know, it goes day to day. You got to live here.
At some point, I might have to just live here.
Just get a spot in Philly.
Yeah.
Like, we're good.
I'll ask Mike Jarek where all the cool places are, because I heard he knows.
Yeah, Mike definitely knows. I don't know if you want to be out and about with Mike. Mike is a great dude.
Yeah.
But if you're coming to Philly and hanging out with Mike Jarek, you're hanging out.
Because he parties? Does he party?
He's everywhere.
Amazing.
Like, he's a great dude. If you go out with him, like, Mike jokes that this is his RSVP.
Oh my God.
So you just show
just
up at places
in.
And you're like, oh,
and he's
Mike,
a
Mike
celebrity star table.
Just roll in.
I love
and he
that.
Wants to go to every, like the top places is where everybody wants to go.
Yeah.
Mike wants to go to any neighborhood, anywhere, any place.
I love that.
He's invited to the cookout.
Yeah.
Like Mike
that's
goes
great.
Everywhere.
Okay, well,
so maybe you should hang out with
I need
Mike.
Him to get me invited to the cookout, okay?
We're going to get you to the cookout.
Okay, all right, good.
It is all good.
Okay.
We end the pulse with everybody. The show's whole theme and concept is use your voice for good. Like, that's the tagline of the show. Mm-hmm. So we ask everybody, what does that phrase, use your voice for good, mean to you?
Well, it's changed over time. I thought I was going to use my voice for good as a representation of the First Amendment and freedom of speech. And that meant speaking my mind on political issues. Over time, it's come to mean more personally to be honest, even if you're calling out your own side. And that was hard for me, but I'm there now. And then finally, like this sort of final iteration, using my voice for good is talking very openly about mental health and sharing my struggles, because that helps take it out of the shadows and end the stigma. I think we all need to be talking more about our mental health. So that's what makes me feel good these days.
I appreciate you spending some time with us. We'll
Thanks
all
for
be
having
watching
me.
Battleground.
Great.
This will be cool.
Thanks.
And other stuff, but mostly Battleground.
Okay. Okay, great.
That was good. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with author, journalist, political commentator, and host of the new battleground, S.E. Cupp. It was fun kind of hearing her perspective experiences. She's been in a lot of different rooms and capacity and interaction that I was eager to hear about. And I appreciate her openness and honesty in sharing just kind of her and the country's development from a political perspective. I also encourage you to check out Battleground whenever you can. It's a good watch. You will enjoy that. Do me a favor, hit follow, like, subscribe, whatever button works for you so you get a notification every time another episode of The Pulse is available. And I also want to remind you that you can check out all of our broadcast, TV, and streaming episodes of The Pulse on the Fox Local app. It's all right there on demand, so check it out. Thank you again, and I leave you as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.